A lot of people believe that the idea of cutting tax rates for wealthy individuals or for corporations will stimulate entrepreneurship and stimulate consumption and stimulate the economy. What do you take issue with that idea?
Well, the fact is, it hasn't. I mean, big corporations are now sitting on almost $2 trillion of cash that they don't even know what to do with. Why do we suppose that another tax cut is going to help them decide to have more, create more jobs? It won't. The reason corporations are not investing even the money they have in expansion and jobs is because they don't have customers. I mean, if you're a business person, you're not going to expand and create jobs unless you have customers. And the reason they don't have customers is the vast middle class is broke. Or, I mean, their wages are going down. People are worried about their homes. What we need to do is get more money into the hands of the middle class.
You write a lot about how wealth is becoming concentrated in fewer and fewer people's hands, and whereas the vast majority of people are seeing their own wages and salaries declining. What is the cause of that?
Starting in the late 70s, early 1980s, there were two simultaneous revolutions. One is a technological revolution, and I'm talking about everything from container ships and satellite communication technologies, all of these transportation and communication technologies that came on stream in the 1970s allowed the production process to be parceled out around the globe. That meant that the labor force began to segment. You had a smaller and smaller number of people who really could do a lot of very complicated work, innovating, inventing. The point is that those innovations did reward the innovators, but they displaced a lot of people who were not the innovators, who were people who had skills, many of them, but those skills were easily replicable in computer programs or in software. So the real question is how can we, as an economy, as a society, adapt, move onward and upward to higher value-added production? And even those of us who can't do it, how do we make sure that we bring them along?
So how do we?
Well, here's where we get into policy speak. Take a look at the largest anti-poverty program we have in the country right now. It's called the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's kind of a reverse income tax. It means that if you are a low-wage worker, you get some money back. That Earned Income Tax Credit is the kind of thing we need to do in the short term. We need to expand the Earned Income Tax Credit. We need to make it push it up to into the middle class, so that if you were earning, let's say, $20,000 a year, you've got to pay a 10% tax, federal income tax on that. Well, instead of a federal income tax, maybe you should get back $1,000 or $2,000. If you are a $50,000 worker, maybe you should pay no taxes at all, and maybe you should get a little bit, maybe $500 back. But going up the scale, if you are earning $800,000, maybe you should pay not just 35% or 36%, which is the rate right now, but maybe you should pay 40% of your income and subsidize the people who are at the bottom end. Now, this sounds blasphemous, I know, because this sounds like I'm talking redistribution. Oh, what a terrible thing to say. Look, compare this to what we used to do in the first 3 decades after the Second World War. Even under Dwight David Eisenhower, nobody would accuse him of being a socialist. But the marginal income tax on highest earners in the 1950s was 91%. I mean, no, I'm not talking about anything close to that. I'm talking about half of that, not even half of that.
You're talking about a pretty dramatic change to our tax system. And at the same time, in your book, you write about how government is essentially in the pocket of rich people who want taxes to keep going down and down and down. How would we ever get to what you're talking about?
We've got to start with reforms of our government system, getting money, big money out of politics. It's not an easy fight. We're losing it in some ways. The Supreme Court in 2010 came out with that grotesque decision, Citizens United against the Federal Election Commission, saying that corporations essentially are people entitled to First Amendment protections. That's really riding roughshod over the First Amendment rights of everybody else, because when so much money from so few rich people can dominate so easily our politics, then the rest of us lose our voice. So you're absolutely right. Nothing I say in policy terms is going to be possible unless we clean up and take back our democracy.
Robert Reich served as Secretary of Labor under President Bill Clinton. He now teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Well, thank you.